This is Ozarks at Large. It's understandable if time seems different these days, if not at times irrelevant. Schedules have changed, and this is either mid-October or mid-May. Who knows for sure? In this unusual year, we're going back to 1998 for a conversation on our show then about time and how elements of time were invented. The struggle to define what makes a year, a month, or a week goes way back. And in 1998, we talked with David Ewing Duncan, a commentator for All Things Considered then, about the idea of time. His book, Calendar, had just been published.
I'm just surmising this, but I think one of the first things that humans became aware of was the passage of time. In fact, I think that's one of the things that makes us human. And obviously, we are born and we die, so we're very aware of time in that sense. But soon after, we probably felt the need to measure time. And that's when the first calendars came. And I pick up the story around 13,000 years ago when Stone Age people started carving lunar cycles onto bones and stones. And we've, our anthropologists and archaeologists have found those scattered around the world. And so even that early, people were even writing down calendars and efforts to measure time.
And those earliest efforts all kind of hinged on the same thing in the sky, the moon.
Obviously, people were looking around for clocks. I mean, we have swatches and Rolexes and everything else today, but back then, of course, they didn't have anything like that. And to find a clock, they needed to look to nature. And one of the great clocks in the sky, of course, is the moon going through its steady phases. And that's what a lot of people used for early calendars. But they also, there's a lot of folklore about time. I mean, we all know that at least in this part of the world, that birds fly south for the winter, and we know that the buds start coming out in the spring. And these were all very important symbols and key signs in early calendars.
The length of a tropical year, as you point out, and before we even get to the book in the calendar index, is 365 days, 5 hours, 48 minutes, and 45 seconds. To most of us, that seems that's a revelation. You just assume that's set amount of days, and then you go on.
That's right. And the problem was and is that you cannot fit weeks and months into, and even days, as you point out, into the year, which is our basic measurement of time. And that's where the problem is. And it still causes us some grief. We don't think about this much, but our months are of different lengths. 31 days, 30 days, even 28 or 29. 7-day weeks don't quite fit into 365 days and some change, as you say. And, this trying to even determine what you just read took many, many centuries to try to get that right. So you had to actually figure out what the length of the year was before you could even try to tackle how to make an accurate calendar.
Many of the calendars that were used centuries ago were of 354 days, and there was a problem with that. You'd eventually, over the course of many, many years, have March where June should be and vice versa.
Right. We talked about the moon a minute ago, and most early calendars, even the very, very sophisticated ones, say that the Greeks, Chinese, Indians, others had. It was based on the moon and the lunar cycles, and a lunar month is about 29 and a half days long on average. And that, of course, does not equal, if you multiply it by 12 months, it does not equal 365 days. It equals 354 days. And that 11-day difference is huge when you consider that each year the calendar is running slow against the true year by 11 days, and you're dropping 11 days each year. And pretty soon you are having seasons fall in on one another, as you say, summer into spring, spring into winter. And it causes all sorts of havoc and did for centuries until someone came up with the proper length of the year for the calendar.
In October of 1582, the Pope wipes 10 days off the calendar to because of some miscalculations. People rioted. They felt as if something had been stolen from them.
No, that's right. And in fact, we even jump back 1,500 years before that, or actually almost 1,600 years, when Caesar introduced our calendar, the calendar we know today. He was correcting one of those lunar calendars that Rome was using. And he had to actually add 80 days to the year 45 BC, or I'm sorry, 46 BC, to get his calendar back accurate so in 45 BC, the next year, he could introduce the calendar that we now know. So you can imagine, you know, adding 80 days, it was a 445-day year, which they call the Year of Confusion. And then we fast forward ahead again to 1582, and Caesar's calendar was very accurate, but it was still a little bit off. I mean, we're talking about 11 days off. Caesar's calendar ended up being about 11 minutes off a year. And again, no one cared about that for a long, long time, but over the course of many, many centuries, that 11 minutes accumulated, and by the time you get around to 1582, the 16th century, the calendar was running about 10 days slow against the true year. And so a pope, Pope Gregory the 13th, ordered 10 days removed from October of 1582. So you had this strange occurrence of people going to sleep on October 4th, 1582, and waking up on the 15th. And they weren't very happy about that. And there were riots, and people, you know, the Protestants at the time considered this a papal plot and did not make the change for a long time. And, you know, taking time away from people like that, so to speak, was quite disruptive.
This wonderful story about the history of time brings you to things that you never might consider. In fact, that the concept of zero had to be invented.
Yeah, that's right. And there's a lot of mathematics involved here. And this is not a book that's heavy with mathematics or science, really. I prefer to tell stories, but one of the critical concepts that needed to be invented to have the knowledge to come up with a true and accurate year and to come up with an accurate calendar was the concept of zero. And I never realized this, really, that the concept of zero wasn't even invented until around, it's a little bit controversial, but in Euro-Asia, it was invented in probably the 600s or maybe 700s in India. And it made its way slowly west and didn't really reach Europe until the Renaissance. And that means that people, when they counted, they did not start at zero. They started at one. And one of the reasons there's a little bit of controversy over the year 2000, whether 2000 or 2001 is the beginning of the millennium, and that's because when our calendar was invented, there was no year zero, and there still is no year zero. So we really started in the year one, and if you add 2000 to one, you get 2001.
You know, when you're talking about cultures in South America and India and China and Europe, early ancient world trying to come up with different calendars, it didn't matter if they were off, but skipping back to that story of 1582 when Pope Gregory wipes out the 10 days, now you're dealing with countries that have more active connection with each other. But many countries didn't adopt the Gregorian calendar for over a century later. So you had, what, completely different days and months in countries that were fairly close to each other?
It wasn't even just, it was city-states in some cases. You know, Germany was made up of a hodgepodge of different countries and principalities and even cities that were independent. And in some cases you would, you know, you could walk or ride from one city to another in Germany just in a day, and you would be 10 days behind where you started, and sometimes you'd be in the last year, you know, the previous year, depending on the time of year. You could celebrate Christmas twice. It was really a strange sort of hodgepodge. It wasn't quite as confusing then as it would be now, because people then we're just coming around to using calendars again. After in the Middle Ages, a complex calendar like the one we use was not widely followed. I mean, people were basically planting crops and following cycles of nature. But it did take almost 200 years for the Western European countries to adopt the calendar. In fact, it took until 1752 for Britain.
1750s seems so recent to still be working this out.
Oh, yeah. In fact, it was really still being worked out even into this century. China was the last, you know, large country to adopt the Gregorian calendar, as we call it, the world calendar that we use today. In fact, it was not until 1949 that Maltese Tung, when he took Beijing, actually stood up on the gates of heavenly peace and said three things. He said, you know, the communist flag will be the flag of China, Beijing will be the capital, and we will no longer use the Chinese calendar. We will use the world's calendar. So, you know, that's just a generation ago that, a rather large chunk of the world population adopted this calendar.
Since the year 1 AD, the time of year has actually slowed by about 10 seconds?
That's right. As we were talking earlier about the Earth and it's a natural object. It moves and wiggles, and it seems to be gradually slowing. And it's nothing to get concerned about, but it's about a half a second a century. And this is the rotation of the Earth. Is gradually slowing, and there's some evidence I've read that many hundreds of millions of years ago the day was considerably shorter than it is today, which means that the year was longer because you had more days. So it's nothing to panic about, but my understanding is that the moon is in a slightly elliptical orbit, and it's pulling the Earth just a tad and causing it to slow down. But, that makes calculations of the year over time somewhat difficult.
Sometimes when you start talking to someone about the concept of time and different things, it just becomes very difficult to grasp. Or is that just me? Is it for you, too? I mean, it's kind of like considering eternity. I mean, you can't really put a tangible...
Well, another one of my fascinations is, what is time? And, it's a philosophical question, it's a theological question, and it's just a basic question. I'm sure we've all been sitting in math class, in like third grade or fourth grade, watching the clock, and the minute hand is just not moving. It's just sitting there. It seems interminable, and yet, today, my days just rush past. Time seems to be just in a free fall, and I don't know. I don't think anyone really understands that or what it all means. And in some ways, it's sort of there's a certain amusement we can take, I suppose, if we step back at our efforts to measure this thing which we don't really even completely understand.
And now here we are, less than 1,000 days from a new millennium, roughly. So we've got it all figured out now.
Well, we think we do. You may be alluding to the fact that the millennium has probably already come and gone, according to the actual calendar. One of the things I discovered in my research is that Christ was probably born more like 4 BC, and of course our calendar, the year 1, is supposedly when Christ was born, but the fellow who started this calendar, who was a monk back in the 6th century in Rome, actually got the date wrong. And scholars today think 4 BC, 5 BC is probably more likely for when Christ was born. So if you do your math, 1997 was probably the year of our Lord 2000.
You just spoiled a lot of good parties.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I don't mean to make people cancel their reservations or anything, but it probably has come and gone, and I guess we're still here. I mean, at least the apocalypse didn't occur.
David Ewing Duncan, thank you so much for your time.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
David Ewing Duncan talked to us about his book, Calendar, in 1998. This is a 2020 edition of Ozarks at Large.